It's Build a Big Podcast. David Hooper here, back in Nashville, back from Podcast Movement 2019. It's my third one. This one in Orlando. I've also been to the Fort Worth Podcast Movement and also Philadelphia last year. Let me give you a disclaimer before I get into the nitty gritty of what happened at Podcast Movement 2019. I try to be really respectful when reviewing events, and that is because I have run events, several of them. And I'm talking about things as big as Podcast Movement, all the way down to little bitty gigs with three people in the audience. So I've seen my share of the good, the bad, and the ugly of doing hundreds of events over the years. And I try to be respectful of everybody who's doing an event because I know it takes a lot of work. And this one, Podcast Movement 2019, absolutely took a lot of work. Podcasting is getting big, guys. Big money is coming in. There's more pressure. And when you do a big event like this, there's a lot more pressure on event organizers. Things are not always as they appear. You show up at a hotel. There's 3,000 people at the event. The trade show floor is packed. Big signage. But that costs a lot of money. That's not all profit. So I'm going to dive a little bit into that, give you my review of Podcast Movement. Just like any event, it is not a match for everybody. I want to give you a feel for it so you can decide if it's for you. Let me tell you where my head was when I decided to go to Podcast Movement. A few months ago, I released a podcasting book. I wanted to get the word out about that. What better place to do that than an event full of podcasters? I'm very close to launching a new agency, not doing just marketing via podcasting or helping people to market themselves via podcasting, but a full-on agency that includes production. The reason that I decided to go to Podcast Movement, the main reason, is relationships. I wanted to build on the relationships that I have in the podcasting space. These are my friends. This isn't just a business thing, but also make new relationships in the podcasting space. That relationship building started from the moment I got to the Nashville airport. A guy saw me that knew me. I talked to him on the internet, but didn't recognize him right away. I was in the Southwest Corral, as I call it, lining people up, 1 through 30 over here, 31 through 60 over here. He recognized me. We started talking, ended up sitting together on the plane on the way down, which is, I don't know, 90-minute flight in and out. Pretty quick flight. Grabbed a Lyft ride over to the hotel. Great conversation. Cool guy. It furthered that relationship that we had on the internet. And that's what Podcast Movement is about for a lot of people. I see a lot of people that meet people on the internet, Facebook groups, forums, their podcast listeners. They're communicating via Twitter, social media, whatever. This is a great time to see a lot of those people at once. And sometimes, this isn't just Podcast Movement. This is every single event I've ever been to. You have those people that it's like nobody gets them, and then they go to a place where everybody gets them. So that's a really cool thing to see. The relationship building that I'm talking about, that continued throughout the event. In fact, on the plane home, not only was that same guy that I flew down there with on my return flight, saw an additional four people that were flying back to Nashville with me. So it's a very cool way to further those relationships, maybe that aren't that established yet. Maybe you don't even know these people and you want to create those relationships. That's the best part about something like Podcast Movement. So because of furthering those relationships, I kept running into people that I knew. I did not make it to a single panel. With that said, the panel seemed to be well received. Lots of the panels are what I would call podcast industry. And I think those are great because you can see a different side of podcasting. Lots of panels were specific to a certain type of podcasting. For example, fiction podcast. Same as the industry podcast. I think it's great that you can see a different side of podcasting. You can learn what other people are doing in their podcasts, translate some of those things into your podcast. There were also some well-known podcasters who did panels. These are, I guess we'll call them celebrities, NPR, Radiotopia, people with books, reality shows, that kind of thing. From past experience, those are the least helpful panels. This is just my opinion. You may find them very helpful. I think it's great if you like the show. You can see what people are doing. You can kind of get a feel for somebody's personality. And by that, I mean maybe not as edited. It's a little more raw. If you're into celebrity, if you want to know how NPR does things, great. That can be definitely enjoyable. Will it help you? I don't know. I mean, that was one of the things that I noticed about Podcast Movement in Fort Worth, which I think was 3 years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. The NPR guys, there seemed to be a division between them and independent people. And it wasn't a bad division, but it was that the way NPR does podcasts and the way these big companies do podcasts, it is so different. I remember an NPR person on stage saying, like, well, yeah, you know, when it comes to research, we just give that to our researcher. Like, everybody's got somebody doing research for them. I've experienced that a lot, actually, working with tech startups and some of these, I guess I call them incubators or accelerators. I got into one of these things one time thinking I was going to be the dumbest guy in the room. And I was set up with people from Microsoft and all these big companies that had a lot of money and a lot of staffing. And they just didn't get it when it came to starting companies. And I'm not saying that we can't learn from NPR, or we can't learn from big radio. What I am saying, though, is that it's different. If you're a one-man operation, maybe it would be better for you to think about those panels with the one-man operation, learn how that guy's doing it, rather than that person with a ton of staff, funding, and without the limitations that you have as a solo podcaster. Almost all my time at Podcast Movement, it was spent in two places. First one, the trade show. Second one, just hanging out. Trade show, maybe 70 booths. I don't know. Could have been 100. I have no idea, but it was big. It took me 2 days to go through the entire trade show, partly because I would stop at a booth, talk to people, stop at a booth, talk to people. I wanted to get a feel for what the podcast industry is doing, new companies, the people in the industry. And that was a great experience. I met a lot of great people. Google was there. Evie was there. Electro Voice. I love their mics. I use the RE20 for my broadcast show. And actually, I walked up to the guy and go, oh man, I love this mic. This is the mic that I use. And it's a great mic. He said, oh man, you like it? And he hands me this shirt, the RE20 50th anniversary. I thought that was super cool. All the people you'd expect were at this trade show, Libsyn, Blueberry, Podbean. But as I mentioned, Google, Evie, some of the companies that you've heard of, but maybe not as familiar with, Himalaya was there. And speaking of Himalaya, that leads me to my thoughts on the overall feel of the trade show and podcast movement. As I mentioned, big money is coming into podcasting. It's already here. It is here. Now, you'll remember, or maybe you're just finding this out if this is the first Build a Big podcast that you've listened to. Our background is in the music industry. And 20 years ago, 1999, the dot-com bubble, everybody was investing in music because they thought it was the next big thing. It was the first thing to really come to the internet before video, before books, because video files were big. We didn't yet have the technology or the hardware to work with them. And books, we needed a physical apparatus to read books. Because of those things, music was where big money headed when it decided to invest in the internet. So anyway, fast forward to 2019, Himalaya is one of those companies. They are investing a lot of money in podcasting. A huge booth, had a big party, and this is a funny story. I don't mean to pick on Himalaya. This could have been anybody, because I certainly had several conversations that were very close to this. Let's call it a hosting company. I guess they host, and they've got an app. And a buddy of mine, he works for a competing company, and he was just starting to talk shop with these guys. And this is a company that you would have heard of. Big company, right? Along the lines of Google. And he walks up to these guys. He goes, oh, hey, you know, I work for Google. We're going to say it's Google for this example. Curious about what you guys do. They were like, who? They'd never heard of Google. So I thought that was funny that, you know, all this big money is coming in and these people are saying they're involved in podcasting, but have they really done the research? Are they really hiring the team that understands podcasters and therefore knows what podcasters and podcast listeners need? I don't know. My thoughts on the future are just like music, that a lot of things are going to shake themselves out here. Another 3 to 4 years, we're going to see a lot of these big companies go. They're going to spend. And maybe they'll work it out. Maybe they're not. And this isn't to pick on Himalaya. This could have been any of a dozen companies that I met there. Big money's coming in. Let's take advantage of it. I'd love it if we could actually help these guys by letting them know what it is that we as podcasters need. They benefit. We benefit. The entire industry benefits. But with that said, I have my doubts that some of these companies are listening because some of them appear to be expanding way too fast. Maybe they're not hiring the right people. I don't know. Again, not to knock them, just saying that you as a podcaster, maybe you can help these guys out, and you as a podcaster who's trying to get better, don't think that because a company is big and they're spending a lot of money that they're necessarily going to be able to help you better than a smaller company, just like those podcast panels, NPR panels, whatever. Those guys are not going to be able to connect with you and help you out like a small podcaster panel if you are a small podcaster. So speaking of size, there were a lot of comments, I guess you'd say. Just it's like, man, is this thing too big? I mean, this was a big, big event. 3,000 people. I think there were about 3,000 people there. It's probably intimidating to some. One of the reasons that I didn't make it to a single panel was because I kept running into people that I know. If you know people, it's great to have a big event like this. It is great because everybody converges on one event. You know that the people you need to see are going to be there. The biggest question, if you know people, is are you going to see the people that you know? Because with so many people there, it's not like a 100-person event where you can see everybody in the room. There are people, when I got back to Nashville, I said, oh, you were at Podcast Movement? How did I not know you were there? I would have loved to have seen you down there connected with you. There were some people that I ran into once, thought, hey, I'm going to run into that guy again. I'll talk to him later. Didn't see those people again. Overall, I think the size is a good thing. Would I recommend it to a new podcaster? You know, maybe. But if you're a new podcaster and you don't know a lot of people in the podcasting industry, other people who might be at Podcast Movement, what I would suggest you do is connect with people ahead of time via Facebook groups, via Twitter, via social media. Get to know those people on the internet as best you can and then agree to connect at Podcast Movement. That will give you a foot in the door. Because once you know somebody, that person can introduce you to other people, and those people can introduce you to other people. That's basically what this is. You would see somebody talking. You would walk up to those people. They would introduce you to the people they were talking to. Then maybe the original person would leave, and you've got these new friends, and the cycle repeats itself. I think it's one of the coolest things about Podcast Movement. Even as big as this event is, podcasters are friendly. In fact, I'm going to go even further with that. I love it when I meet people and they're better than I thought they were going to be. Let me give you a last day example. Last day, I'm checked into my room. My flight's delayed. I'm waiting to get out of Orlando. Run into Chris Curran from Podcast Engineering School. Also, Mark Johansson. He runs a podcasting gear group. If you need good used equipment, Mark Johansson is the guy to talk to. And they were talking about mics and they were talking about recording quality. It's not something that I'm normally really into. I got a nice setup here. I sound all right, right? But I'm not tweaking it like they are. They're like, well, about the 5 kilohertz level, you need to cut this and you need to go for the low pass filter. Look, I'm just making stuff up, but it sounds like that to me, right? I don't know what they're talking about, but it was so cool to see these guys get so excited over mics and frequencies and compression and limited and de-essers and enhancers and gates and expanders and preamps and digital interfaces. I think there's a lesson there in that enthusiasm, it spreads. It's got me thinking, maybe I need to get some of that stuff. And you see that all over Podcast Movement. So if you are wondering, should I go? Am I going to meet nice people? Yes, you will. And they're excited about stuff and they're going to bring you into that conversation because they're super excited about it. Obviously, to have a big event like this, the venue has to be huge. I was walking around during a break. I feel there could have been 2 additional events the same size as Podcast Movement in the same hotel. We wouldn't have really run into each other. However, the last day there was a big network marketing conference. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women, maybe 2 or 3 guys, selling stick-on nail polish. Different designs, you know, whatever. I don't know. Everybody's got their thing, man. So if you needed a makeover, a manicure, there were ladies that were happy to do that for you and tell you about a very exciting business opportunity. This venue is called the Rosen Shingle. It was a resort, I guess. You got to go through a guard to get in. It's that kind of place, big. They just plopped it down in the middle of a swamp. It's kind of like a big-ass hotel in Las Vegas, except they didn't put it in a desert. They put it in a swamp. It's close to the airport. That was really nice. I like to fly in, get to where I'm going quickly, maybe 15 minutes. We got a lift over there, though. It's like $26. Okay, that's going to be pretty far away. It was not. It was $26 because you had to go through a bunch of toll roads, man. Got to pay for all those improvements for all them kids going to Disneyland. Anyway, it was close, easy to get to, sort of isolated once you got there, but Podcast Movement had buses that would take you to events. And let me give you a funny story before I wrap it up here. I was out with Dave Jackson from School of Podcasting, also Mark Johansson. I mentioned him. He's got the podcasting gear group that sells used gear. We were having dinner, and after dinner, I was exhausted, man. I wanted to go back to the hotel. They wanted to go to the party. The party, I think, was an iHeartRadio party, whatever. Not interested. I tell people after so many years in the music industry, the only thing that I want to wait in line for has to be smoke-free and quiet. Probably smoke-free, quiet, no. So as soon as we got to the party venue, I literally got out of the car and walked straight to the bus heading back to the Rosenshingel. But on the bus, met a great contact. She was a writer working for GoDaddy, doing some articles on podcasting. And hey, man, I happen to have a brand new book on podcasting. Which, side note, if you don't know about my book, you can go to bigpodcast.com/book to find out more information about it. It is called Big Podcast. Grow your podcast audience, build listener loyalty, and get everybody talking about your show. Again, bigpodcast.com/book. That's the best way to find out where to get it. But when you see it on Amazon, you'll know it because it looks like a zebra. It's black and white. Would that connection have happened at the party? I don't know. Again, those parties are loud as hell. I didn't go because I was trying to pace myself energetically. I needed to get up, do important work. It's also very easy to blow out your voice. And as a side note, and your ears, we're in a loud environment. I really wish the Podcast Movement would have had some events that were more conducive to networking. And this isn't a slight at Podcast Movement. I'm sure iHeart was like, yeah, we'll just throw a band in there. People love bands. Maybe it's just me from years and years of hanging out in clubs. I'm just over it. Maybe I'm just getting old. But to me, not the highest and best use of my time. That's why I went back to the hotel. I was hanging out in the lobby for several hours afterwards. Got up, did it all again the next day. Overall, a great experience. Will I go next year? Maybe. And next year, you'll actually have two opportunities to do Podcast Movement. In February, they are doing one in Los Angeles. It is called Podcast Evolutions. Now, that sounds like either a soap opera, and it is Hollywood, right? Podcast Evolutions. Or maybe it's a new cologne. I don't know. But there's some kind of difference between Podcast Evolutions and Podcast Movement. That one is August in Dallas. There are also some other events popping up. Podfest in Orlando, She Podcast in Atlanta, DC Podcast in DC. I had more than a few people ask me about doing another event in Nashville. I've done a couple. The answer, maybe. If you want to keep up, two ways to do that. bigpodcast.com/subscribe lets you get this podcast however you get your podcast. I got a button for iPhone. I got a button for Android. If you want an RSS feed, I've got a button for you. bigpodcast.com/subscribe lets you do that. There's a mailing list on that website, bigpodcast.com. And if you sign up, I'll send you some cool stuff, man. I got a cool toolkit. It's going to help you grow your podcast, episode templates, social media templates, everything you need to grow your podcast. Because that's what I do. I'm a marketing guy. So I got into this. I started a syndicated radio show in 2005 called Music Business Radio. Speaking of Dave Jackson, I'd known him from his work in the music business. He was a couple months ahead of me with starting the podcast. And I told the guys at the radio station, you know, we could put this thing online. It's called a podcast. So there I was, 2005. And that is how long I've been podcasting. Still at it, not just working with musicians. I'm working with authors, experts, people with a message to spread. And if you're interested in doing that via your podcast, go to bigpodcast.com, sign up for the mailing list. I will send you this toolkit. Again, the social media templates, the episode templates, a lot of cool stuff to help you grow your audience, get people coming to you to help you spread your message. Thank you for listening to Build a Big Podcast. I will see you soon on the next episode.